As Chris has said, we're here to see what the Bible has to say in response to this question. I'm basically an irrelevance, but to say hello, I'm Alex. I live in East Acton, if anyone knows East Acton. It's near Wormwood Scrubs Prison. I don't live in the prison. I live nearby with my wife and my toddler. I work for an organisation called LDN Holidays. That's also irrelevant. You can ask me about that if you want to. But it's not relevant to today's question. The question today is Jesus a force for good? Well, polling would show that the UK is a country divided. The two-party system can't bear the strain of our divisions. That's why there are kind of parties all over the spectrum popping up to fight for your votes. I'm guessing if we did a little poll right now of this room, there'd be some political variety. Different parties we'd say that we'd vote for. Two questions I think we ask ourselves when we get to the ballot box, or at least I do, and you look down the list of names that you may or may not recognise. Two questions you ask yourself are, well, who do we think on this list would be an effective politician, an effective representative? And who do we think will be good, will be nice? Are there any that are both? Democracy is easy when you can find that answer. Well, I wonder how we would poll if we asked that same question about Jesus. About Jesus of Nazareth. Is he powerful, capable? Is he a force to be reckoned with? Is he a good guy? Is he good? Might he be both? My guess is that on that kind of good, effective, or nice, powerful graph, majority opinion may well plot Jesus, if it was honest, in the kind of nice, ineffective corner. He's sort of a Lib Dem. Nothing wrong with that. But probably around there. I'm not saying he'd vote Lib Dem either. I don't know how he'd vote. That's not the point. The question is, though, is he in that corner? Is Jesus nice but ineffective? Is he perhaps, more intimidatingly, is he powerful but not good? Or is he indeed a force for good? We're going to work through those two axes one by one. Is he a force, someone to be reckoned with, someone who demands my, your attention today? And if he is a force, well, is he a force for good? Is his forcefulness good news? Is he, as he would claim, worthy of our worship? Note the question we're looking at is not whether the church is a force for good. That's a different question. That is an interesting question. Are those who follow Jesus, who claim his name, are they a force for good? You may have noticed as you heard the passage read, it is in fact an instruction to Christians. Have this mind among yourselves. It's a direction to Christians. And actually, is the church a force for good? That's an interesting question to ask a Christian. Perhaps if you're not a follower of Jesus here this lunchtime, but maybe you came with a Christian colleague or friend, why not ask them? Christians would give quite an interesting nuanced answer, I think. To that question, is the church a force for good? But we're going to tackle kind of the first question first. If Jesus is not a force or not a force for good, well, then the church is kind of irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. Start with Jesus Christ, the founder of the church. Answer that question before the second one. Is he a force then? Is Jesus Christ a force? I don't know what a flex looks like in your place of work. How do people show off where you work? I guess the bigger, more high-powered the setup, the bigger the flex has to be. Maybe a kind of high-end watch, not one that I have. Maybe a townhouse, a second home, a third, a boat, a yacht, a home for your yacht. Other status symbols, job titles, who gets the nice big office, whose name goes on the office. Letters the government will put after your name if you give the right money to the right people. And of course, ultimately, we live in a world of raw power. That was visible, so visible, only last week. And you saw those kind of European leaders in front of Donald Trump's desk. At the click of a finger, he could say, come to my house, come to my desk, listen to me. A small number of men hold extraordinary raw power in this world. It's all about Jesus. Well, on the face of it, he's not very impressive at all, is he? He's got no tertiary education. He certainly has no OBE. His work experience, if you saw his CV, was as a carpenter, a handyman. His property portfolio, well, that was non-existent. He says elsewhere in the Bible that he was like a fox with nowhere to lay his head, no hole to live in. He, in fact, lived his life dependent on the charity of others to provide the food that he needed. The Bible even tells us that he's not very good looking, which feels a bit mean, but there you go. But here's the flex. Jesus chose that humble life. If you look down at just the top of page 981 by that small number 7, this is what we're told, that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. All of the status symbols of the city are predicated on the assumption that if I have power, I'll use it for myself. And I want to demonstrate to you just how powerful and impressive I am. But Jesus seems to travel the other way down the river. He emptied himself, form of a servant, humbled himself, obedient. He's moving from high to low. That's why I suppose if some of us or some of our colleagues were honest, he looks like a bit of a weed. He's kind of nice, but soft. He's gone from a position of strength to one of weakness. Why has he done that? Well, we'll get to that later. But before we get to the why, here's the thing I want us to acknowledge. Even if we just take it on non-religious terms, Jesus, a humble man who comes from nothing, no trust fund, no Oxbridge education, no property portfolio, nothing. And yet Jesus, who is followed, worshipped by billions today, revered by billions more. He is the central person of the world's best-selling book. His views, his teaching, have shaped our justice system, our political system, our financial regulations, the lot. Not just ours, but around the world for 2,000 years. Is anyone going to care in 100 years who the CEO or managing partner of your firm is? Suspect not. In 2,000 years, I'm certain that Jesus will still be the most important person in history. He's central to everything. Jesus started life without the privileges, as many of us in this room did. He deliberately, consistently, repeatedly humbled himself, set himself back. And yet he's outshined all of us and anyone else who's ever worked in London. He is the most important person in history. In purely human terms, it's pretty much inexplicable. A penniless peasant from some backwater of an occupied country, key person in history. Inexplicable. But the Bible says it is, in fact, explicable. It is to be expected. Have a look at verse 6, that little 6, just on the bottom of page 980. Again, this is about Jesus. Jesus, who was in the form of God. Jesus, the Bible teaches, is divine, is God himself. So is it any surprise that the one person in history who is also the God who created history sits at the center of history? Well, no, it's not. It makes complete sense. And what's more, if you look across to verse 9, page 981, we're told that God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him, given to him, the name that is above every name. Jesus, who is God, is exalted by God, his heavenly Father, above every other name. Jesus is God, he's exalted by God. And so this utter dominance across the last 2,000 years, this kind of extraordinary flex of a humble peasant to be the most influential person in the world, is not a blip. It's not a kind of temporary position until someone else comes along. Is Jesus a force? Well, the record of history would say yes. But the Bible will go further and say there's more than you know. We've just seen a tiny insight into Jesus' power. He has, in fact, the power of God who has exalted him. That's enough to put me in my box. I want to say for whenever you started off this lunchtime thinking of Jesus as a bit Lib Dem, a bit nice but soft, Well, don't miss his power amidst his humility. He is humble. But if you were to pick up and read any of the biographies of Jesus' life, any of those four Gospels, if you were to listen to what he says, observe what he does, yes, he is kind, but he is also remarkable. He does things that I cannot do, things that humble me, the rejection of others, the power of the state, sickness, death. They humble me. None of them stop him. Each of those obstacles, he moves out the way as if it was nothing. If we start off thinking that we are perhaps just a bit tougher and more capable than nice old Jesus, well, we need to let the evidence change our minds. He is a force at the center of history, an ongoing force shaping my life and yours. But is he a force for good? Perhaps as we reflect on Christianity and the teachings of Jesus and how they've shaped our world, to some of us it may seem not good. Perhaps Christianity sounds like a synonym to colonialism or corruption or conservatism. And again, we need to step back and first look at Jesus himself, to step back from the noise of what different churches might be saying and hear what Jesus has to say. But as we do that, we would find that there are many aspects of his teaching which are, to put it mildly, countercultural to 21st century London, things that he says that would be objectionable to the 2025 zeitgeist. And yet there have been aspects of his teaching that have countered every culture they have come across. This hasn't started in 2025. Every single year after Jesus opened his mouth, people have opposed what he says. But he said what he said, and because ultimately he's not a sheep. He's not my sheep, he's not your sheep. He doesn't teach what Donald Trump or Joe Biden would want to hear. He says the truth with power. Jesus is a force to be reckoned with, who challenges not only our politics but our personal lives. Is he a force for good? Let's go back to verse 5. This is what Paul writes. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How does Jesus use his power? Well, to serve others. He's awesomely powerful, but he chooses to use that power to serve. If I offered you, now I can't, I'm sorry, but if I did, if I offered you now money and fame and glory and ease of living, if I offered that all to all of you with an open palm, take it, it's yours by right. Well, how many of us wouldn't snatch at that? I know I would. What if we took it up a notch? What if I offered you kind of shed loads of money, the exact level of fame that you wanted, universal glory and respect, the lifestyle of your choice forever? Would you take that? Of course you would. There is an inherent selfishness to mankind, a self-focused instinct which serves as the basis of the city, I suppose. That's why we shouldn't be surprised when supposedly worthy politicians turn out to have their snouts in the trough. Of course they do. Wouldn't we? But Jesus is different. Christ Jesus, verse 5, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, had all of that in his hands, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and taking the form of a servant. He had all the wealth and glory beyond our wildest dreams in his hands, and he emptied himself. And he didn't empty himself like a philanthropist, a sort of Gates Foundation generosity. Perhaps some of you have ambitions, that's good. Once we've made perhaps our tens of millions, our hundreds of millions, I don't know, inflation, something like that. Maybe then, when we have more than enough, we'll give from our excess. We might start tax efficiently shedding some of what we've got. Sounds good, sounds worthy. But Jesus isn't like that. He's not a philanthropist. No, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, going from CEO in the corner office to the toilet cleaner at midnight, being born in the likeness of men. He didn't portion up some of his wealth for charitable giving. He threw himself in, all in. He embraced a human life of rejection. He was born, the authorities tried to kill him, he becomes a refugee. He grew up, he lived, as we said, very modestly, in a time and place far less comfortable than ours, in a country oppressed by an occupying power, the Roman Empire. When push came to shove, his friends deserted him, abandoned him, to be abused and killed by an unjust government. And the point is not, oh, poor Jesus. Oh, sad for Jesus. Oh, Jesus the victim. Very tough for Jesus. No, Jesus is powerful. And he chose every aspect of that life that he lived and that death that he died. I don't know if you saw that key word, verse 8. Obedient to the point of death. Obedient. What's that about? What's he being obedient to here? Well, Jesus did this purposefully. We're told he humbled himself deliberately. He was obedient to his Father. Jesus, with all the power that was rightfully his, he humbled himself to die on the cross for us. God reveals in the Bible that there is a root issue behind all the other issues in the world, the ones that billionaires throw their money at. Malaria and poverty and energy crises. God says that there is a root issue, which is his creation's rejection of him as creator. And that from that rejection flows all the other issues, all the wrong in the world, but also then a necessary resolution, a justice from God to meet our injustice, a justice that God commits to providing. And yet even as God is committed to that justice, he also sets in motion this plan to redeem mankind. Namely, Jesus. Jesus here is obedient to that plan. He chose to take the form of a servant and to die to face a justice that we would deserve. Is Jesus a force for good? Yes, because he has dedicated himself fully, not the excess of his wealth, but everything, all his intellect and energy, his very life, to solving the underlying problem in the world. Where billionaires nibble at the edges, Jesus has gone for the jugular. They do good things, he's done the best thing. Opened a way that anyone might be right with God, however rich or poor, successful or failing, whatever their background or heritage. We can see countless examples in history of people using power to their advantage, but Jesus uses all of his power to his disadvantage and to our advantage. For me, that is an extraordinarily attractive thing. In a moment that looked full of weakness on the cross, Jesus changed the world forever. A naked, dying man on a Roman torture instrument, a literal world-changing moment. Whatever you think of Jesus, you can't deny it. Jesus dies on the cross and the world changes from that moment onwards. It has shaped the world ever since. Here's the last question to leave us with then. God says, verse 10, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That is the Bible's picture of the end state. Everyone in the world will acknowledge that Jesus is force above all forces. Ultimately, he is the unstoppable force. We are ultimately movable objects. And the question we're left floating here is, well, will we bow to that Jesus gladly or necessarily? In this window of life that God has afforded us, will we acknowledge Jesus' power and his goodness in what he has done? Or will we take our chances, leave him on the shelf for another year or another decade? Perhaps doubt his power and its relevance today. Take the risk that, well, that justice God has committed to will wait for us to come back to later. It is a risk. Jesus says if he doesn't face God's justice for us, we each face it our own 2 feet. For me, that is an intimidating prospect. Is Jesus a force for good? Well, he is a force. I think it's hard to deny. I think, yeah, logically unavoidable. He is a force that has shaped the world. from when he was born till today. And the Bible says that is just a kind of hint at half a revealing of the truth, that he is the force that not just shaped the world, but made the world. That he is divine, God himself. Is he a force? Yes. Is he a force for good? Well, I think we have seen that uniquely he has taken that highest possible level of power, humbled himself, emptied himself, not put some money in a charity to burnish his image, but laid down his own life for the sake of others to fix that root problem of the world. Not just more malaria nets, but a solution to all that is wrong. Is he a force for good? I posit that he is. Thank you for listening, for engaging as we've gone through that. I'm sure in lots of ways we've scratched the surface of quite a big question. But why don't I pray as we close, and I'll hand back over to Chris. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would make yourself clear to us in a world of lots of different political voices and ideas and different perspectives on Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help each of us to see through the noise to the truth of that man who changed the world. Help us to see, understand, and respond to him rightly.